Episode 59.
Here it is, man. Episode 59. You can kick this one off if you want.
Okay. Good evening, good morning, or maybe good afternoon. Welcome to the show, episode 59, The Journey to Wherever. And my name is Daniel.
And I'm Yvonne.
Oh.
And I'm Yvonne.
I was like, that's a bit different. I was like, and I'm Yvonne.
I thought I'd do something a little bit different today.
Mix it up a little bit, eh?
Mix it up. But one thing I can't forget.
What's that?
Cue the intro.
Okay.
My name's Yvonne, and I'm a scientist by day and a writer by night.
And I'm Daniel. I'm a neuromuscular therapist, and I run my own practice.
And you're listening to the weekly podcast, Journey to Wherever.
Enjoy the show.
I like that part. It's my favorite part of the show.
You like that bit?
Yeah.
I think we figured out our bits. It's only taken like almost 60 episodes. We figured out our bits. Bits of the show.
Hello, everybody. It certainly is episode 59 of Journey to Wherever. If you're new to the show, welcome. It's nice to have you here. We are a weekly podcast hosted by two Aussie guys, and it's a great podcast, better than the rest. And we're here to take down the podcast world.
Take them all down.
Take them all down.
All must go down. Everyone. Yes. Every single one. It's like a massive Royal Rumble. Battle Royale, whichever you want to call it.
Exactly. And we practiced our name calling for the pre-fight
contest. We should have opened with that.
We should have opened with that, eh?
Next one.
Maybe we'll start again next time. I don't know what I was about to say.
Well, I'm distracted by your frothy beverage. What is it again?
It's just a coffee.
Oh, okay.
It's literally just an instant coffee, but I promise you I won't take a big giant slurp.
Like I did before pre-podcast?
You're lucky. I nearly divorced your podcast all.
Oh, how you goodness. Doing, mate? So, you know, let's get the what do we call it?
The show on the
podcast
road.
Foreplay out of the way.
What are you rushing it for?
No, I'm not. Well, sorry. No, I mean, as in, like, let's get into the podcast foreplay. Okay. No, I'm not saying let's get out of the way. Let's get into it.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, what have we? You know what? What have you learned differently this week?
What have I learned differently?
Yeah, rather than what have you done differently this week, or what have you done this week, or how's your week been? Let's start with what have you learned different this week?
Shit, you put me on the spot.
I know.
Jesus. I'll ask you what you did first. Sorry.
That's why I was hoping you'd have something so that I can think of what
did I learn to do differently?
Or just anything. Could be anything. What have you, it's like, oh, you've got, oh, shit. Oh, far out. Didn't know that.
Genuinely don't have anything.
Don't have anything.
Yeah, I feel terrible. What a terrible co-host I am. Not being able to decide on anything.
I've learned that you should really, when you make hot beverages, that you have to, like, I don't actually think when you make a hot beverage, that when you blow into a hot beverage, that it actually cools it down. There's like a legitimate...
You know, we were right in the middle of podcast foreplay and you just talked about blowing into a beverage. Keep going.
But do you know what I mean? It's like, you get in and does the whole...
Yeah, it certainly helps.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
100%. You don't drink that many hot beverages,
though. Maybe that's what it is.
No, I don't actually blow air across my beverage before I drink it.
Okay, what do you do?
As I drink, I suck air in so that cool air runs across the top of my sip.
See, I've just learned something different.
Yep.
Is that your technique or is that...
Listen, that's why when I drink it, I go... As I'm sucking...
So you're sucking the hot air out?
No. I'm sucking air into my lips as I'm taking a sip. So it cools as I drink it. Isn't that not a normal thing to do?
So
when you drink, say, a green... Because I know you don't drink coffee, right? You don't drink hot things, really.
Yeah.
But you drink green tea every now and then, don't you? Or some sort of a herbal tea.
Some form of herbal tea.
So do you not do that when you sip
it? I just drink as if I'm drinking a cold, like a glass of water.
Really?
Yeah. I just go...
That's fucked up.
Just go for it. Yeah.
That is really messed up.
That probably should adapt your technique.
I don't know if I can.
Because I did the hot beverage
anymore. Hey,
I did the hot beverage one of these nights, and you know, I burnt my tongue, which wasn't fun. You know,
because you didn't suck air.
Well, I didn't know about the sucking air thing. Okay,
it's mind blowing. It's like life changing. It's a life changing technique. I'm sure everybody does it who drinks a hot beverage.
I don't know. Maybe everyone has a different technique on how to suck in.
Right, so let's go. This week's been a crazy week.
Okay, go for it.
I We're not a politics show. We're not here to talk about politics. Nothing like that. But I've...
We'll address the elephant in the room, put it that way.
We'll address the elephant in the room. Yeah. I'm super interested in it. You know me. I like watching American stuff. So I've been pretty much working all week, and I've got my TV on in the background.
Yeah.
My computer set up next to it. Yeah. I've got like the polls running on one screen. I've got live coverage streaming on another thing for like 12 hours straight.
Yeah.
And I've been like tuned in. Every now and then I'm back on Twitter and I'm looking at what's trending, So maybe what I've done, maybe what I've learned this week is to go back to the, what I actually have learned this week is how to work and have something playing in the background that's not music.
That's not usually music.
I can't work in front of a TV. I get too distracted.
Yeah.
So this week I probably worked reasonably well while having something playing in the background.
Do you normally work with background music?
I play music while I work, yeah.
You don't find it, I don't find it distracting.
Depends on the task though.
Okay.
Depends on the task. I can listen to classical music pretty much with any task.
Yeah.
I can listen to lyrical instrumental music pretty much with any... Sorry, instrumental music with pretty much any task. As soon as I get lyrics...
It throws you off.
It throws me off.
Same.
If I'm trying to compute something...
Same.
Or read something, throws me off.
Okay.
If I'm designing something, I can have words playing lyrics.
Designing something?
Yep.
Okay.
Anytime I'm reading... Or my brain has to compute something.
Okay.
I can't have words.
Like a document of some sort.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you're like being creative, you don't mind lyrics.
I don't mind lyrics then. I'm cool with that.
Okay. I wonder if the lyrics adds to the... Well, obviously it adds to the creativity, but I wonder what it is about the lyrics that adds to it.
Because the way my brain works is it's very... When I'm writing, I go into the emotion of writing.
Yeah.
So I can't... My brain can't talk to me while I'm listening to someone else talking to me through a song. It contradicts. If I write a really deep article, really deep and meaningful article, sometimes if I know the emotion I want to create in the text,
you play that.
I will play a certain type of song which may have lyrics.
Uh-huh. Like a pump-up song.
But, yeah, I don't really listen to... yes and no. Most of the music I listen to if I want to write something deep is dark.
Like
it's dark,
music.
Emotional music. I can't listen to anything like bop doo ba da. I can't.
A bit of Hanson.
Nah, it's got to be like dark, emotional, like, you know, really stirring up what I'm feeling music.
You know what you should download then, which you probably already have, a lot of the Vikings tracks.
Listen.
You already have, haven't you?
Come on. I actually listen to a lot of Jamaic. Is it Jamaic they call it? Germanic or Jamaic.
I don't know.
Old it's music.
It's like they're heavy into their stuff, man. Like,
yeah, but yeah. There's one band, because they've got a few different bands. They've got, because what I did is I started looking up Viking tracks once.
Yeah.
And I ended up discovering, actually, I will tell you something I learned this week after this. I got to warm up. This is the thing. So,
It's foreplay, baby.
Exactly. So, I ended up doing a search for the Viking songs and tracks, and they ended up going in down a rabbit hole of, what's it called? I think it's called throat singing.
This is throat singing.
All kinds of weird going right now. It's like that, where it's real deep and like,
that's actually sounding pretty good just then.
It's a really strange, bizarre kind of sound, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah,
and
it's almost hypnotic.
It is, but it's...
Some of their tracks.
They're singing from like deep in the throat and it's like vibrating all the vocal cords. I don't know how it works, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And then there's one group and they have like really old songs where they draw upon things like Odin and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But in all their music and the instruments they play, they'll play like a drum with a human bone.
Oh, yeah.
Or they'll have a real skin stretched over, not a human skin, but like an animal skin stretched over a real archaic looking drum.
Yeah.
And they wear that. You know when you got in the Viking scenes where they're doing like an offering, a sacrifice?
Yeah.
And they paint their faces white and they wear the white gowns.
Yeah.
They play their music dressed in that kind of thing.
Wow.
And it's real like dark and...
So would you write your articles to them?
I have written to stuff like that before.
Wow, okay.
So it's just a really, really interesting kind of music. So, but one thing I did learn this week, and like many things, I go down a little bit of a rabbit hole, right? So I was reading because lately I've been really needing to kind of kick back. It's been big weeks, a lot happening. Mm-hmm. So I've been kicking back and reading a camping book.
You've been doing this for a while now.
I need to go camping, man.
Yeah.
Like I'm hanging for the bush. And so I pick up one of these outdoor books, and then there's one picture in there of a guy scratching his head, trying to navigate the outback of Australia mm-hmm. in one of these pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who takes these, quite a famous Australian photographer. He's cataloged like lots of photos and things like that. And he took this particular photo of this guy scratching his head. I think he was the one who took it. And he's trying to navigate the Gun Barrel Highway.
Okay.
In Australia.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I haven't heard of this before. Like, what's this highway? Even I've looked at this picture before many times. And it's basically like, because in Australia, you've got like obviously your main cities along your coasts. But then when you get into the middle of Australia, for those who don't know, it's like barren desert.
Yeah.
It's like minimal water.
Minimal vegetation.
They get when they get their rain, in some areas, they'll get a lot of water that will hit, and then it will basically turn it into like marshland water, and it floods out a lot of the parts.
Yeah.
But then when it starts to drop off, it dries out the land. You get all these cracks and crevices.
Yeah.
And there's one part of this stretch of so-called highway,
yeah,
but it literally just looks like grass is growing on the side of dirt, and it's like all these craters and stuff. And I was like, Gun Barrel Highway, that sounds really, really interesting. And I'm like, and then he said the name of the person who built the Gun Barrel Highway. And I was like, I've got to go and research this now. Because yeah, if I find something that I even remotely click to,
yeah,
I'm like a rabbit hole. I have to like go and find it. So I ended up finding out the guy who was a geodesic, I think they call it, where basically they go and they got to map out the different points of the land so they can use it for mapping and distances and all this stuff.
Okay.
So he ended up going, he was working for the government and was tasked to go out and basically map out parts of Australia. And in doing so, he needed to build a highway. So he ended up building this Gun Barrel Highway, and they called it the Gun Barrel Highway because in some points they wanted to make it as straight as a gun barrel, as they say.
Okay.
And they had to bulldoze through like all these uncomfortable parts. So I was like, oh, that sounds a fascinating story. So I went online and I ended up finding out that he's got a book. I went on eBay. I ordered the book, a vintage book from the 1960s.
Yeah.
It came this week. So I've started reading that book, and now I'm learning more about Australian history.
There you go.
Just random stuff that I didn't know happened between, there's this one piece of highway that stretches from like the middle of Australia across to a portion of roughly the halfway through, if I'm seeing the map correctly, halfway through Western Australia.
Wow.
Random. I've never been interested in highways and bulldozing and all that stuff, but now I'm curious because
it was all triggered by one camping.
Triggered because one Sunday afternoon I kicked my feet back, picked up a camping book and looked at a few photos.
There you
go. And now I'm on this journey of like just reading random stuff. So that's what I learned this week.
Well, it's obviously what you're craving though.
Just the outdoors, man.
Yeah.
Like it's the end of year.
Yeah.
You just need like, I don't know, like.
Like a release.
I do. Like yeah. I think going camping brings people back to what I think their core is. It's nature. We come from the land. I think going back to it just re-centers you.
Yeah.
Living on the minimum, having to kind of cook your food on a fire feels very primal.
Mm. It's cliche, but it's the truth though. Like when you go camping, a lot of the times there's no reception. There's no like distractions.
Yeah.
So then you do the simple things like, you know, starting a campfire. And if you're glamping, you're glamping. Or if you're putting a tent up, you're putting a tent up. But one way or another, you're still out in the bush. And
exactly.
You're doing all that and you're breathing in fresh air and everything slows down. You have deeper sleeps for whatever reason because, yeah, I don't know, the air's better. I'm not sure.
100%.
Yeah. All that definitely. Kind of stuff. Yeah, definitely.
So that's kind of like where my week's been sitting. It's really been like completely polar opposites from each day.
Yeah.
It's been very different every day. And I don't know, man, just chilling. It's Friday. It's Friday night here. So, you know, it's nice to kind of kick back and talk random and just have a good chat.
Nice.
What about you?
My days are getting longer as they approach Christmas, which is pretty normal for my business. But it's been good though. Like because I'm in that, you know, I guess we call it, you know, that peak period, I'm not feeling the fatigue or the tiredness. I'm just kind of like wired and I'm doing a lot of work. It's good meeting a lot of different people and stuff, but you know how I was talking a couple of what's it called? Episodes ago.
Yeah.
About how, like, can you get invited to go to different places to do, like, talks at gyms and stuff like that. So now it's become acceptable to be part of, like, you know, there's, like, how they set up a big screen and it's got, like, the Zooms?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I've been doing heaps of them now.
Have you been on Zooms a lot?
Yeah.
You know what's fascinating? Because
it's like, it never used to be a thing, right? It used to be like you wanted to be there in person.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of like...
Because of the environment we've now found ourselves
in. Yeah, I think people are just happy to kind of go... If it's a practical demonstration, then obviously it's not going to work. But if it's one of those... I did a very similar one to that one I did last time. Or we were talking about on the podcast with the whole like business mentoring.
Yeah.
You know, our examples and blah, blah, blah. All that kind of crap. But it was kind of a similar one to that with a different gym. Mm. But the guy was, you know, he's a bit more like, you know, conscious about the whole COVID thing and whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, do you mind doing a Zoom thing? And I was like, oh, how are we going to do it? And then he showed me his setup and he's like invested a lot of money in it. So he's got this like big ass screen.
Yeah.
Like, I guess like a, you know, like a LCD, LED type screen. And he's got all the things, you know, divided up and all the money. And when it comes out really like really good quality. So I'm sitting there, I'm looking at my computer and I can see like,
everyone,
the audience.
Oh, really?
It's really, really bizarre. So, I guess what I've learned is that people, the stigma has been removed about whether, you know, making time to be somewhere in person, is pretty much no longer required
because more people are just getting used to the fact and accepting the fact that you can do things via video conferencing.
Yeah, it's just like random stuff. It's like the other day I got this last minute one. It's like, oh, do you mind doing one at 7:15 p.m.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, I can't. And then I was like, I can't get there. And before I could say the word, I can't get there in time. Like, oh, is this another Zoom one? Like, yeah. So it will only go for like half an hour. I was like,
well, that's easy enough.
You just gotta dial in. Sure, no worries.
Yeah.
So then I'm just like,
it saves you from having to travel, having to park, having to take an hour out of your day before
you got to kind of present yourself a little bit. So you got to, you know, you can't just like, you know, look all shabby and tired. You got to just kind of like spruce up. Do you know what I mean? You're in front of an audience.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in front of a computer, like you're just in front of a computer.
Yeah.
It's still a bit weird to personally, like I'm very much a, you know.
Well, you're very much hands on and face to face with all your patients.
If it's acceptable now, then I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Now look, I think I manage my entire day now through, you know, video conferencing and remote and just calls and stuff like that. I've pretty much constantly got the Microsoft Teams app, which is just similar sort of thing, open in the background. And one stream's chatting. If I need to call someone, I don't pick up the phone anymore. I just dial them from my computer. I've got a headset.
And they just come up.
I just call straight through the computer, call their Microsoft Teams. If we need to do a video chat, we just pull them up to video. And it's just the way it is. It's just completely normal now.
There you go.
It's definitely become very normal. Yeah.
It's weird how it's become normal though. Like it was the thing and it needed to be the thing because for obvious reasons, but now it's just become so normal.
Yeah.
Just do that, you know? Mm. And it's become acceptable.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like so acceptable now. It's like, okay, sure. It's just a weird thing to kind of get used to.
I think it's becoming acceptable. We're going to quickly move to the point where it's actually beneficial. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Because if you look at it, picture for example, you had, I don't know, say for example, you're a call center.
Yeah.
And you have a call center in the CBD and you've got 150 callers on desks. Imagine the rent you have to pay in the Sydney CBD.
Plus
the internet, plus electricity, plus the kitchen, plus the cookies, plus the toiletries.
Because the other day I was ordering, I ordered the
Hose Bakery.
Sorry?
Hose?
No. A different order. I was ordering the UFC pay-per-view, the most recent one. I forget what number
Silver.
It was. The one before that with Khabib.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, you know, I should just download the app on my phone. But I'm really old school, like speaking to someone, so it's all good. I just want to make sure it gets ordered properly, right? Because I couldn't watch it live.
Did you order Domino's by calling?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still do. I know.
Now, is that what you were saying you were about to do then?
No. I ordered the thing, right? But then I was speaking to someone from, I don't know, some other country overseas.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're talking like, oh, hi, Daniel. Yeah. Okay. So you want to order this? Just confirm it. And in the background, all I hear is,
chicken.
Yeah, chicken.
Because they're working from home.
It's hilarious. I was like, I looked at Tash. I was like, because I had it on loudspeaker. I was like, was that a fucking rooster? and she's like, and then like, as I said it, I was like,
That's gold.
It went again. I was like, this is hilarious.
Because they're working remotely. It brings on so many opportunities for employment.
It's going to sound really dicky, but I've actually felt more connected.
To the person.
To the person.
You do. It's bizarre.
It's like, I'm like talking to this person now, and I'm like, this person is in their home.
You're speaking to someone who works for a company, but you're speaking to them from their home.
From their home, somewhere across the world.
You know what?
Because a lot of these call centers are like a lot of these people kind of like generally are from third world countries, right?
Yeah.
So they're probably in like some kind of farming land or something like that, right? So they are around live crops and roosters and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But they've got an internet connection, which is even more weird, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like back then, a phone wouldn't even work.
Yeah.
But now an internet connection, now they're full on speaking to some random dude across the world in Australia, ordering a UFC pay-per-view. Yeah.
I've had people call me from call center people call me, and then they haven't been able to get through, but they've left me like a message, or I've managed to call through. And the first thing that they say to me is, "Hi, I'm just calling you from home at the moment because I'm working from home.
Yeah.
This is blah, blah, blah. And this is what I'm doing." And I'm just like,
sure.
Instantaneous connection. I think you nailed it when you said that. If a company is willing to, and I've seen some commercials where some ads where they've got companies and they're showing their staff working from home.
Okay.
Any company that hacks that has got it made, because it's an instant trust builder.
Yeah.
That if someone's calling you and they're calling you from their home and they've let you into their home, it automatically builds that relationship ready for you to go on to the next topic or whatever you're about to talk about on the call.
I think it's such a
strength for companies to take advantage of that transparently and say, this is what we're doing for our staff. This is how we're looking after them. They're working from home. So if you get a call from a clinic or a call center or a bank or a phone company,
a lot of the time it says telecommunication type companies.
Yeah.
Your TPGs, your Telstras, Vodafones, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, I don't know, I guess the word connected is what I got, but I kind of felt like I just wasn't another digit, you know, on hold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I was technically, but I don't know, just felt different.
I agree. I think it's fascinating stuff.
Yeah. So that's been my week.
Yeah. Well, there you go. This is the longest foreplay we've ever had on the podcast for 22 minutes.
It's probably part of the actual show.
You know, look, you know what one of the things I like about stretching out the conversations like this on the podcast, particularly because I've been watching a lot of this election stuff, there's been some really cool layouts of people doing live streaming shows where they're kind of like sitting around in a room with like mad decor. They got like plates of food and this laying around. They're filming it. And it's like a live show.
Yeah.
But these things go for like hours. Okay. This is what Joe Rogan does. He sits there and he talks for hours. They pour scotch glasses. They have cigars, this and that. And they talk
They're
for hours.
They're as natural as they possibly could
You're natural as you possibly can. I think it's like, I don't know. I tend to find it super engaging. I'm curious what our listeners would feel, whether or not 1 hour is the sweet spot, or if they would be willing to have longer episodes that were more conversational for a longer period of time. I'm curious.
Good question.
What is the podcast sweet spot? For you, I mean, for you, what do you find it is?
As in for when I'm listening
to
something?
If you have to listen to a podcast.
Oh, well, I see. Again,
I'm curious about the listeners, if they can let us know as well while they're listening to us kind of chat around.
For me personally, I mainly base it around, because obviously I consume my podcast on the road, driving to work, driving to and home, like to and from work and home. So I generally have around a 40-45 minute commute.
Yeah.
So I like an hour podcast, but if I see something like a lot of the times I listen to Joe Rogan, he has like a 3 hour podcast.
Yeah.
I'll still listen to that too. So it doesn't really bother me.
As long as the conversation's good.
I actually probably, I like shorter ones too.
Yeah.
But I don't, because obviously for obvious reasons, you don't want to be driving and flicking through your phone and looking for
having a
podcast.
Switch podcast
episodes. I like having like if I'm listening to, you know, 20 minute, 15 minute podcast, I want to have like a playlist that lasts me an hour or 45 minutes. But yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what the listeners would.
I tend to get disappointed, or not disappointed, but I'm less inclined to click on a podcast if it's like 20 minutes or less.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm like, how much value are you going to get out of 20 minutes?
Even with the headline?
I mean, I see it as a bite-sized
if the headline
sales pitch kind of episode where I don't believe they're going to go deep.
Yeah, they generally don't go deep. But some, depending on the topic, sometimes it can be like a quick fire type.
As long as it's content, like as long as it's valuable
like
content.
Like Gary Vee does a lot of them.
He does. But that's if you want bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, and sometimes you look at the headline, you go, huh, that's a good one. Yeah. Like, I'll listen to that. It's at like 17 minutes. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, he talks a lot of value.
But I prefer the long conversation. So like an hour plus.
So do I. Speaking of podcasts, though, recently on Twitter, we had there's these two cool women who host a podcast over in... I haven't actually shared this with you yet, I don't think.
No, I don't.
Okay. This is new to so me. there's a podcast called The Wonder Women.
The Wonder Women?
The Wonder Women podcast.
Okay.
Excuse my Aussie accent. Maybe it's The Wonder Woman. No, it'd be The Wonder Women.
How's it spelled?
I'd say women.
How's it spelled?
W-O-M-E-N.
Yeah, women.
That's women, right?
Yeah, women.
I'm a terrible speller.
Yeah, but yet you blog.
It's so yeah, I know I'm a writer, but I am a terrible speller. Today I had to say, hey, Google, how do you spell... Oh, shit. Hold on. Don't. Stop, Google, stop. Today I had to say, hey, how do you spell likelihood?
Likelihood?
No, you know what I found out?
What?
There's another thing I learned this week. I had an epiphany. I have trouble identifying the correct vowel that strings two portions of a word together. So, for example, like Leehood, I didn't know if it was L-I-K-E-L-I or L-E-hood.
No, I.
Well, you say it easily, like you know what you're talking about, yeah. But I don't. I don't know. I have trouble with that. So I said, hey, fill in the blank, how do you spell likelihood? And then I'm like, she goes, L-I-K-E, L, and then as soon as she's about to say the vowel that I'm looking for, my wife in the background, Nat's, she's like,
yes, oh.
It's E, I, I. I'm like, Nat, I'm trying to hear Google tell me, how do you spell it? And the thing that I was trying to get right, Nat chimed in. I'm like, start again. Hey, and I had to ask her again, how do you spell it? Anyway, nonetheless,
as you were saying, sorry.
I get distracted.
Yeah.
I get so distracted. Anyway, so the Wonder Women podcast.
Yeah.
I said women, right? Yeah.
Yes, women.
Is a cool podcast in the States. And they basically do... It's actually quite a fascinating idea. And the reason why I bring it up is because this week on Twitter, they shared a number of podcasts to shout out. And they said, give us or some of our friends a try. And we were listed as the number one... Not the number one, but the first podcast on that list of podcasts
lovely.
To share.
Thank you very much.
So they gave us a very nice shout out. So... kudos back. Shout out to you. Shout out back to the wonderful women from the Wonder Women podcast.
Nice.
Who gave us that friendly shout out. But they have a podcast and talk about all kinds of crazy topics.
Okay. Similar to us.
Well, one of them is a scientist.
Okay.
Their chemistry is super good.
Yeah.
And they ask what if questions.
What if?
What if questions. So they've got one particular podcast called What If We Couldn't Fart? Next one. What if we only lived for 1 week? They've got other ones. What if we didn't have photosynthesis? What if forests could move? What if we walked like crabs? What if we didn't have a moon? What if we didn't have pants? They've just got these random questions.
Well,
and with a really good level of chemistry. Sorry?
Let's go with them. Is that what you want to do?
No, I'm just giving them a shout out like because they gave us a shout out and I'm like, I got to give it back because I listened to some of their content. I was like, it's pretty clever. I really, really enjoyed it. They've got a good gig going on over there. And I was thinking,
I worry sometimes that I still laugh at farts. I'm 32 years old. Is that 33 years old actually? Is that a bad thing?
That you laugh?
Yeah, I just find farts funny.
I think it's a dude thing too. We do.
Yeah, but it's just like, how do you, anyways. I'm going to start laughing.
We do. But look, I'm just putting it out there. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of putting you on the spot too. But the Wonder Woman podcast, if you guys want to ever do a collab, hit us
yes.
up. Because I think our Aussie accents and our Aussie show with our Journey to Wherever content, coupled with your wondering about random topics and the chemistry you guys have over there, I think we'd have a cracker of a show.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just throwing it out
there.
Are
they from America?
Call me.
Are they from America?
They're from America.
They're from America. All right, sweet.
So, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
But it was funny because one of them tweeted back and she was like, "Are you a real scientist?" And I was like, "Oh fuck, how am I going to answer these questions?" I'm like, I'm a scientist, but I'm not necessarily a good one.
Are you a real scientist? But it comes down to the fact of with science, there's so many different.
There's types so of many sciences. Different avenues that you can go down with science. I'm like, fuck, how am I going to answer this now? I'm like, well,
technically you are.
Technically, yes.
Yes.
I'm not necessarily a good one.
No, but yes, I am.
I've done chemistry and you know synthesizing and making things and so you're a real scientist. Analytical testing. Yes. However, now I use my science degree in my position now, which is I needed a science degree to get my job.
Yeah.
So I technically classify it as still being a scientist. Because if like I tell people, I work in quality for regulated medical company, this, this and that, they're like, okay. So I'm just like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a scientist. Well, that's cool. Yeah, wow. All right.
There's okay, I guess maybe what she's asking is like, are you in a lab scientist?
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, but you used to be.
I used to be.
Yeah.
Every day I was in a lab.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not a very good scientist. I was good at the time.
How do you determine whether someone's a good scientist or not?
You know,
that's just a dumb question.
Well, you know basic chemical reactions if you're a chemist other than acid plus a base equals salt plus water. Ask me anything else and I'm like, let me check my textbook. That three-year degree paid off well. No, it's not quite that bad.
Yeah, but you're not revisiting it constantly, so you don't necessarily would retain a lot of that information anyways.
No, that's right. But it's not until you draw upon knowledge that you realize that you've still got it because you kind of got to think about things.
It's in the back there somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
One thing that I think having a science degree helps people do is think laterally. Well, having any degree really where you've had to kind of study probably helps people.
Mm.
But I don't know if that's a person thing or is it just the type of degree. I don't know.
I think it's a type of degree.
One of the things I found is that any degree allows you to think laterally. I tend to enjoy or find it's a strength to think laterally about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this kind of goes into this thing. I don't know. We're like halfway through this. But usual podcast time, but I was thinking because at the start of the show, we were like, what's this particular episode going to be about? And I'm like, what do we suck at and what are we good at?
Okay.
And then you laughed, and I was like, well, I know one thing I suck at is coming up with topics for the particular podcast. So that was the first thing that I sucked at.
No, I think we procrastinate on topics because we've got a library.
Of topics. Yeah.
So we're probably spoiled for choice. And being true to the journey to wherever.
Sometimes we like to just let it go.
Yeah. Well, so a lot of the times we go, oh, that's a good topic. But we remember just not feeling it.
Maybe.
That's a lot of the times. Yes, it is a lot of the times. We're like, oh, that's deep. We're like, yeah, but I'm feeling silly. I'm a bit tired. I want to talk about something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's more just like a chat and see where it goes.
We just like to kind of feel the vibe, as we like to say.
Yeah.
Feel the vibe. Yeah. So we kind of suck at procrastinating about picking the show.
But doesn't that mean that you're good at procrastinating? Because you can't really suck at procrastinating. You either just procrastinate or you don't. But if you suck at procrastinating, it means you make decisions very quick. But that's kind of like...
So we're good at procrastinating then.
We would be good at procrastinating when it comes to topics.
I just flipped it.
You
then.
Suck at coming up with concepts around procrastinating.
Oh gosh!
No, we do. I think we are spoiled for choice because of our list of things. But as always, we don't ever come up with the structure of a show, so it's very much like free chat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing. And I was like, oh, I really, really don't know. And I tend to find that I'm relying on you more to come up with the idea and prompt it.
Yeah. I don't mind doing it because I often have, I'm spoiled because like...
You have so many conversations with people.
A shitload of conversations.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times my topics come from the conversations I've had with a client. And it could be something directly to what they've said.
Yeah.
Or it could be the actual topic. Sorry, indirectly of what they've said. Or it could be the actual thing that they're talking about. I go, oh, kind of similar to like say that we had the loyalty podcast last week, yeah. Right? And it was based on quite a successive amount of topics that I had with a few clients.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Let's, you know, add that one. So I have so many.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm like really like spoiled for choice with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably one of my weaknesses.
Yeah.
I find myself not being able to sit there. I mean, if I said to you, between now and tomorrow, yeah, come up with 100 ideas for podcast things.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably could.
You would come up with a list of 100. You'd probably do 101. Whereas I'd be like, fuck, all right. And 9 o'clock tomorrow morning would come, and I guarantee you, I would not have come up with it. I'd be like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And I'll probably come back to you and say,
dude, I don't have anything.
I've got one topic. How do you come up with topics without having a topic? That'd be the topic I picked, just to see where it goes.
Well, that's kind of like what we've done today.
Yeah, because it's not a strength. I just can't come up with ideas. Usually it's like...
Is that a creative thing though?
I think it is. That's what I was going to say.
If we're talking about what we're good at and what we suck at, I would say that I suck at being creative. And when I think of the term creative,
yeah,
I think of like, we'll say I'm sitting right here next to a beautiful artwork that your wife has made. That to me is creative.
She's an artiste.
Artiste, right? Yes. So I look at that, like, oh, it's very nice. And like, I look at that and I'm like, I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Neither would I.
Okay. So that to me is creativeness. But I guess for some people, if I could come up in 24 hours, 101 podcast ideas, some people might see it as, oh, that's creative. And I'm like, is it creative or is it just plucking thoughts out? Is it just kind of like
digging into the
back of the brain and going, oh.
I think there's two levels of creativity. You know? One, coming up with creative thoughts and running yourself through a creative process of creating an idea before it gets made. And then there's the actual art of creating something from a creative, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess. There's two different types of creativeness.
Yeah, so... To me, I'm like,
that creativeness more though.
That artwork is, she's creative. I mean, that's got like three or four layers of colors and paints to create what it has, right?
That's got a whole heap of...
But she'll like...
It's telling a story.
I call it the string theory.
You call it the what?
The string theory. Because it's got like these little swirls of strings. And in science, it's like hyperspace. Because the whole idea is that when you get very, very subatomic, you're no longer in particles. You're in like vibrations of like energy. Wow. So therefore, they're shaped as strings. So I call it string theory. To her, she says, can you see the flower?
I was like... No, before you... When you were going on your Neil deGrasse Tyson theory just then, I was looking at that. I'm thinking, Nat has probably got... She's probably not even knowing near what you're thinking about.
No. She looks at me as in like...
She probably looks at you like, what are you doing?
Oh, we got to go now. She walks out like... She brushes me off.
Can you just see the flower? And you're like...
She said, can you see the flower?
I'm like, I can too.
I can't see the flower.
It's just there.
Really?
Yeah. It's right in the middle.
Where?
It's there.
Man, I got to switch the light on so I can see. I wish everyone can see what I'm looking at now.
Well, that's bright.
That's a bright light.
Oh, actually, no, with the light on. Wait a second.
I can't see a flower. Yeah, I don't know, man. She's creative.
It looks
like a 20 by, what is it? A 30 by 20 or something canvas. She's got another big one that she did before, but
yeah.
Yeah, so she can create, whereas that... Certainly not my strength.
I reckon I'm going to stick to the fact that I'm not creative enough.
Interesting.
I don't think I'm creative enough.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't come up with lists like you do.
I can be too practical sometimes.
We had an episode on this, practicality versus visionary. I think visionaries tend to be creative. I'd say that.
Okay.
To an extent. But I have to be... Sorry?
What else do you suck at?
Well, one thing I'm good at...
Okay.
For starters. Don't put me down now, right?
Okay, I'm just saying.
One thing I'm good at is like... And I can't claim it because I think it comes from like a higher power. It's just bestowed upon me.
Okay.
Is I'll be having a shower.
Yeah.
Or taking a shit.
Yeah.
And I'll get an idea. It'll just come upon me.
Right?
That's what I'm good at. And I'm not good at it.
You're dropping the negative energy or you're being washing the negative energy off and then a new thing comes.
I don't know, man. It just comes to me, man.
It's like boop.
I can't even say that it's me because it automatically just comes to me. And
so every time you shower or shit, you have a good...
No, definitely not. It comes in waves, which is why you don't see me all the time. No. That's why you don't see me blog. I mean, I have to be in like peak mode to write article day after day for like a month straight.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes I'll write a piece like, you know, four times a month max sometimes less.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's because I can't just sit there and go, oh, what am I going to write? I've done it once and it turned out to be a good piece where I'm like, what am I going to write about? And I literally based it how do you come up with an idea when you have writer's block? That was the premise of the whole article.
Yeah.
And then I wrote about writer's block and it was some transformational piece for life.
Yeah.
But it's like I literally just have to be sitting there and then I'm in the shower and all of a sudden an idea just comes into my head and it'll be a title of a post.
Yeah.
Or it'll be, usually it's a title and then I instantly think about the feeling I want the reader to feel.
Okay.
And that's all I need. And then I'll write. I'll take them on the journey from the title to the emotion through word. That is it. That is my extent of creativity for that.
That's pretty creative though. It's piecing certain emotions together.
But if you ask me to draw like a really good picture, like comic drawing, like really good drawing.
I can't do that shit either.
I suck.
I'm bad.
Singing, I suck.
I'm dancing, excellent singer in the
hopeless.
Shower. Fucking awesome singer in the shower.
Everyone's an awesome singer in the shower.
I'm just fucking amazing.
Do you actually sing in the shower a lot?
Huh?
Do you sing in the shower a lot?
Oh, yeah. I'll get there.
Wow.
You know, some good songs come in. I'm interesting. Do you feel like you need to draw like inspiration? From stuff? Do you need to put yourself in a situation or just kind of just boop, just
usually
pops up?
Music does it for me.
Music. So if right now I just said, you know what, Ivan, I need a piece in the next hour.
I can make it for you, but I will play something while doing it.
You said that's your trigger.
Yes.
Okay, I don't have
If
that.
You came up with a, if you come up with a, because I did this on Twitter. I said to someone, actually, I'm probably going to share it because it was quite interesting. Because it comes down to the whole premise of asking, coming up with a word, for example. And I had tweeted out on Twitter, and I'm got to create this piece now because I can't just kind of let it go away because I had some good suggestions. I said something along the lines of, what did I say? So, like, give me a word and let's see what I can create. I said, give me a word, something unique, a single word. Let's see what we can create out of just one word. And I got a whole series of words. One of them was hoard, exuberant, gaggle, gurgling, and, indubitably, like some of these words, I don't even know what they were.
I don't even know what indubitably
I have no
means.
Idea what they were. And I was like, I got to look up what the word means.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go with the word gurgling.
Okay.
And write a piece on it now. And it's going to be a dark, emotional, sad piece.
Oh. On gurgling? So I wouldn't think of that.
Yeah. So, but it's one of those things where it's, if you said to me now, if you just gave me a word or a sentence or a title of something,
mm-hmm.
I have to instantly string an emotion to it, and then I can probably create something in an hour, but I will play music at the same time.
Mm.
Okay. And I will pick a tune that is similar to the emotion I want to feel or I want you to feel.
Okay.
That's a creative process for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's creative.
I can't go, oh, I'm going to walk in a garden now and go down to a park and I'm going to feel inspiration. It doesn't do nothing for me.
It doesn't do nothing.
No, I can't draw
inspiration.
You could
go to the walk for in the garden, providing you have your headphones on listening to music.
I've never done that, but I probably could.
But it could work.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
What are you good at?
I don't really want to talk about my job.
But you are though.
Yeah.
I've told you, man, you're like the Matrix when it comes to like the body.
I guess veering away from the job itself, I feel like
this, by the way, this to people listening, this can sound like a boastful episode.
Yeah.
But listen as much to the things we suck at so it becomes lighthearted.
Yeah. I feel like I'm really good. I don't even like saying the word really good. I feel like I'm good at the educating aspect of the patient psychology.
As in educating the patient?
Yeah. So a lot of the time someone will come in and they have unrealistic expectations of how long their injury or ailment should take to heal.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times people's thoughts of, you know, how long it should take is generally unrealistic. And sometimes it is realistic, but what...
On both sides of the scale?
Yeah.
Too short or too long?
Yes, short, too long, whatever. Like post-surgery, rehab, whatever, anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I educate well. The patient. So I'm good at speaking, educating the injury in layman's terms.
How though?
Huh?
How?
I don't know. I think
not how you go about doing it, but how come you're so good at that?
Well, when you manage a client's expectation, when they go back and you go, okay, so this is what's going to happen after today. You're going to feel this between this day and this day. And then from this day and this day, you're going to feel that. So if you do this many of this repetition this many times, keep a mental log of when you do this, this. So if you plan everything out and tell them word for word what's going to happen from day one to day 14 to the next time that they see you, they are more amazed
when you get
at the fact that you get every single day correct based on their symptoms, as opposed to the fact that even though they're seeing you on day 14 and they're still in pain, they're more impressed with the fact that I was right.
That they would experience what they did on day 11.
Yes.
That's because you're very good at your craft.
And I think it's known, but at the same time, I'm letting them know that I understand how the body works.
Yeah.
So you've come to me for me to fix you, so to speak. I don't like using the term fix, but you know, let's just use it for now.
Treat,
right? To fix you. But I've now educated you and letting you know that, yes, I will eventually get to that, but this is what you're going to feel. So they become more impressed with the accuracy of what they're feeling day to day, which then gives them the confidence for them to use me well past
this. Is that injury a planned thing that you do?
Yes, it's definitely.
Because that's pre-framing.
Hey,
that's like pre-framing.
But it is pre-framing. But it's reality as well.
No, of course it is. But there's nothing wrong with pre-framing because it's not changing reality. Sometimes you're setting them up with the knowledge you have, so that you can communicate it well. But I was gonna say is you're a good communicator, and you have good emotional intelligence. So I think you can connect with people, build the trust quick, and then solidify that trust by sharing the knowledge you have and telling them what they're about to experience. And well, then just, when they just, come back just, in 2 weeks...
You just put it better than me then. Yes, that's exactly
And then in 2 weeks, they come back and go, like, you just nailed it. Like, I felt that. That's exactly what happened.
And on day 8, you said this and this would happen, and it did.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, how did you know? And I'm like, because this is what it does, you know? Yeah. I feel like a lot of practitioners, not even bodywork people, just any kind of therapist practitioner, they really lack in the educating aspect. They're probably really good therapists and they can probably cure a lot of, issues that people have.
Mm-hmm.
But the process in getting there, you might lose someone because you've failed to educate the journey.
100%.
Like dictate what you're doing. It's almost like I use the analogy of imagine going on a tour bus and looking, you know, those tour buses and you got the person at the front, what do they call them? They're like, oh, and on to your left. The
tour guide.
Yeah, the tour guide, right? So imagine going on a tour bus and seeing things that are amazing.
Yeah.
But not having a tour guide.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good analogy.
Right? It's like you're seeing amazing things, but imagine they say, so see that rock over there? See that kind of gaping hole?
And they tell you a story about it.
Oh, and they tell you a story about it. And then you kind of go, oh, that's amazing.
You remember the experience as opposed to you just walking around on a bus.
So that's what I say. Like a lot of people have an amazing experience as a therapist or a practitioner, but they're not guiding.
I think storytelling is so underrated.
It's so important.
It's so underrated.
And this is what I'll shift it to you in a second. But I feel like storytelling in all aspects
of life and roles and jobs, everything.
It plays, and I like using analogies a lot because it relates to people, especially if you give an analogy to someone that's based around what they do or what they study or what they work in, because it clicks with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's why I like your writing, because you're very good at storytelling. And sometimes it's not even about the story itself, right? It could be something that's like...
Very abstract.
Yeah, it could be something like, oh, that's not relatable to me. Like, why would I be of interest in reading this article? But because you're my brother-in-law and because I support what you do, I'll read it. And then all of a sudden it becomes this amazing article that I've read. And it's because of the way you've told the story.
Do you find it becomes relatable to you after you've read it?
Not necessarily, but some of them, yes. Some of them probably at the start, I wouldn't think so, and then it becomes relatable. But I'd probably say the majority of the part, I'm probably more impressed with the actual storytelling and the examples you give. I don't want to botch the English language, but like a lot of
you couldn't botch it any more than I do, don't
worry. You know what I mean? Like you use certain examples and like, I don't know, metaphors and whatever it is, right? Like all that kind of stuff that allows you to kind of immerse yourself in what you're trying to tell me. And then all of a sudden I understand it. Whereas I look at the, I'll look at that and be like, oh, well, yeah, I'm not sure about that, you know? Whereas I think a lot of people get stuck in that, you know? If someone's not guiding, storytelling, explaining and educating correctly, you know, you can always regurgitate information. It's like, okay, so yep, it's this post-op. You've had your ACL reconstruction. Between now and 3 months, you're going to feel this. And between 3 and 6, you're going to feel this. And between 6 and 9, you're going to feel this. And between 9 and 12, you're going to feel this. Thank you very much. See you in 12 months' time. That's just regurgitating information. But if you storytell it, spend a bit of time in educating, people can reflect back when they're in a moment of pain, kind of going back to me in a sec, when they're in that moment of pain, if they reflect back to the storytelling, they can, because you've story told it, they can go, it reassures them that they're in the right track.
Yeah.
Whereas if you haven't educated or if you haven't story told the that piece correctly, they'll go off in a tangent and be like, ah, this article's crap. Or that therapist's shit. I'm in pain still.
Mm-hmm.
Only because they haven't told the story or they haven't explained it correctly. Yeah.
No, I totally agree. And I remember, I mean, I rarely go, you know, touch wood, I rarely go to the doctors. I don't like going to the doctors. This is not to discourage people, but it's just me. I don't personally like to go.
Yeah.
And touch wood, I'm healthy enough where I don't have to go really often, right? But anytime I have gone, I don't remember the conversations I have with them unless they've said something very stupid where I've gone like, well, how did you come up with that? Like, did you look at the wrong website?
You often go there for more, not necessarily reassurance, but you know what you need. So you're going there to confirm what you need. It might be a script or
sometimes
it might be a referral to see a specialist or something like that.
But sometimes you find yourself in front of a doctor where you know that they just really haven't grappled with a lot of the ideas. You kind of question, like, how did you pass your medical degree? Yeah. Sometimes it happens. It's and it's unfortunate because they just skim through somehow. And you're just like, and that you go and give them the symptoms. And I've actually been in front of the doctor where they've literally Googled my symptoms or punched it into the medical database thing.
And they're like,
oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I could have went to WebMD and done that. Like, why did I come here for?
Because they got the thing.
Because
that you
I need them to prescribe, and I know what they're going to. I know what I need, and I know what stuff that I need to.
But you'd
be
surprised how many people
just don't
have
know that.
Symptoms and don't like that. You know, they're not one. They're not in tune with their body, so they have no idea. They just are aware that they're in pain.
Yeah.
Or some form of discomfort. And they need someone to clarify what it is without going, okay, cool. So, all right, you know, sore throat.
Sometimes it's part of their treatment, their own treatment. They need to be told what they have.
Yeah.
It's an interesting phenomenon, but it's true. But I was going to say, I've been to doctors where it's really terrible, but then I've been, any doctor that I've been to where it's I remember them telling me something and I've remembered the condition or the thing that I had at the time and it's really stuck with me. I remember when I had my tears in my retina of my eye.
Yeah.
And I had seen a few ophthalmologists, and one of them in particular, he was a younger guy, not far off. He was probably my age, maybe a few years less, maybe 2-3 years younger than me.
Okay.
Really bright guy, really nice guy. He was real cool. He was telling me about like his hobbies of coins and all this collecting and stuff. And he was a real cool guy.
He's building a relationship.
He was building a relationship. This was after my treatment. This was at the end.
He's building a relationship. He's making you feel comfortable.
Yeah,
with the fact
and I was
that,
talking about you know, medicine and my thoughts at times of thinking, oh, would it be good to study this? And he's like, oh, you should really do it. And he was talking about, he starts telling me about his hobbies and what he collects and whatnot. But he was explaining to me the concept about how I had retina tears, where it came from. He used like a tissue and he tore it and showed me what it was, and he drew pictures and he was explaining it.
I remember the experience.
And now I know how my eye works. I know why it tore. I know what contributed to its tearing, albeit just a natural process because of my, you know, nearsightedness, this and that. But just different things. And there was other surgeons that kind of around the same time that would talk to me about the viscosity in the eye and how there was floaters. And I just remember it because they educated me.
Yes.
It's
very important.
I think communication is very powerful,
but
and storytelling is powerful.
It's very easy as well. A lot of people regurgitate information. Then there's a lot of specialists as well that get to a point in their career. Maybe it's their whole career, I'm not sure. But they get to a point where
they become a little sterile.
They become a little sterile. And what they are saying What's coming out of their mouth is exactly what is happening.
Yes.
The problem is it's not in layman's terms.
Yeah.
It's like textbook stuff and they're blurting out massive words and you lose people.
Yeah.
And the moment you lose someone, unless you absolutely nail the treatment, like to a T, then they might kind of come back to you next time for something
because
else.
The
but if you fail the educating aspect, then
it's
pointless.
Because the communication part builds up so much rapport and builds up so much ability to influence and convince people. I think that's an important trait.
Yeah.
But now, look, I think you're definitely good at that. I've certainly seen that from you.
You're definitely a good writer as well, my friend.
Well, you know, I try.
I haven't read your last one yet. I've got it on save.
Hope. Yeah.
I've just been cracking.
This is another one. I didn't know where it was kind of going with it, but I quite enjoyed it. I did know where I was going with it as far as hope. I think I wrote that after the Beacon of Hope episode. Because leading up to that episode, I knew I had that feeling that I wanted to talk about and storytell about.
Yeah.
But then because I like writing, I'm like, I've got to write something about it as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I've got something that I'm shit at.
Okay.
Flat packs.
Oh, yeah. They suck, don't they?
But see, you like say they IKEA. Suck, but you know how to do it, though. Whereas my brain just goes... Like, it's all I hear is white noise. I can't even process looking at it, gather the screws. These are the A's.
I've received
a
phone call from you before to come
these
over.
These are the
and
C's.
Help with a flat
I'm just
pack.
Like, why don't you just come it's together like, in a box? Why don't you just in one nice big box all put together? Why do you have to be all flat and like a zillion fucking screws? Do you remember that time I told you to come over to help me put together that?
That's what I'm saying. I've received calls from you before to come and help
it's
you
like,
unpack
what
a flat
is
pack.
I even felt embarrassed.
A number of things. I think
like I was embarrassed that you were there. Then I was even more embarrassed that I've got you there and there's like a 4 million screws for a fucking 2-drawer filing cabinet. It's a fucking filing cabinet. Like
I know. I hate flat packs. I'm so over it now.
Shit. I'm
anytime
terrible.
My wife's like, Yvonne, we need to go and buy like some new furniture. We need to go and get this, whatever. And she'll go and get it. And sometimes it might be like a flat pack thing. I'm like, oh my God, FML. Like, why are you doing this to me? And I just know, like, I just have to put it together. And she's like, and then she'll do this thing where because she wants it done now and then.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
She pulls the wife move on me and she's like, when are you going to set it up? And I'm like, oh, we just got home. Can I sit down for a second? She's like, she goes, all right, well, I'll start it. I'm like, no, don't start it, please. Just stop. Let me finish. I'll get to it. I promise. Honey, I'll get to it. She goes, all right. So I'm having my cup of coffee and I'm having a little bit too long.
Yeah.
So she'll start it. And then
she starts opening the boxes.
She opens the boxes. She moves parts around. She'll go and put something together. And she's like, Yvonne, can you just show me which way this piece goes? And I'm like, why did you start? Like, that's why I said to you, I'll do it. Now I've got to get up off the couch and I have to come and save the day. I don't want to come and save the day because I hate flat packs. Oh, man, it's so bad.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm terrible at them. No good.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say I suck at flat packs. I hate flat packs.
Yeah. You definitely don't suck at them.
Yeah, I just what one thing I do suck at doing, and I'm not very good at it at all, is doing my daughter's hair before school. I can't get her hair done properly. That's why I get to the point where I'm like, Hazel, you just need to do your hair, honey. Like, please do. She's like, no, I want a ponytail. I want two pigtails. I want this and that. I'm like, I can't do it like mummy does it. She goes, yeah, you can. You just got to pull it tight and use sprays. I'm like, Hazel, I can't do it that way. I said, you will do it, neither than I will. I'm terrible.
Sweet. I remember once when she was like, she might have been maybe 3 or 4 and dad, you know, had a sleepover, one of the many, right? And Tash was like, Hazel, I'll be there in a second. I'll do your hair, you know? And then she was just taking a little bit longer for what she was doing. I think, I don't know, I can't remember. She just got tied up. She looked at me, she goes, Chica, can you do it? And I was like, oh. I was like, I got two boys, so I don't know how to do this, you know? And she's like, you just do this. And she started explaining to me. I was like, oh, okay, and I'm doing it. I'm like being like really gentle. And she turns around and goes, Chica, you could be rougher than that. And I was like,
Chica means uncle. If
yeah. And I was like, I'm pulling on her hair and I felt like I was hurting her. And she's like, her head tugging back. And I'm like, I felt like I was hurting her head. And she's like, no, that's good. And then like, I did it kind of.
And it was like all messy
and
stuff.
And then Tash comes, she goes, Oh my God, what is that? I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
I think there's a dad who teaches courses or something or videos, and he's got programs about doing hair for your kids or whatever, doing your daughter's like, hair.
Or for dads?
Yeah, there was one I saw, it was gold. I've thought about doing it, but I'm too OCD, where you put an elastic band on the end of the vacuum cleaner.
What?
And then the vacuum cleaner sucks the hair into the vacuum cleaner. Oh, no. And then you slide the elastic off and it pulls it into a perfect painting. And I was like,
far out. You got to get a vacuum cleaner?
Good. Huh?
You got to get a vacuum cleaner for that? Like, far out. That's a bit full on.
But then it's because of how it draws the hair into like a thin ponytail. Yeah, I know. Then you slide it on and... But I don't like the whole vacuum cleaner next to the hair. I'm like, oh, it's all dirty. And then you got to take it out and have a shower. I'm like, no, I can't deal with that.
You got OCD. You don't know what that vacuum cleaner sucked up.
I was like, no, I can't. And then I'm just like, I'm like, Hazel, you need to get mom to do your hair, please. I suck at that.
Gosh.
One thing I am terrible at is anything that requires a lot of attention to detail. Like, not a lot of attention to detail, but the task, I can apply, I have attention to detail.
Yeah.
I can see things that require attention to detail. I can look at something and pick up very quick what's not right with it.
Yeah.
And come up with a solution for it.
Uh-huh.
But if I have to spend a few hours focusing on a task that's very detail oriented.
Yeah.
And I'm losing the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And it's just on one specific thing for a long period of time, I get bored out of my fucking brain.
I get really.
And I am not good at it. I'm unstimulated. I can't produce good work. And I'm like, who can I find that can do this task for me? I'll tell you the bigger picture. Yeah. But if you ask me to do the detailed, minute stuff, unless it's an Excel spreadsheet, I'm all right.
Yeah.
But if it's anything else, I'm like, I it's too much detail. I need bigger picture stuff. So I suck at the micro version of things.
Micro version.
Yeah.
I was thinking of like shifting it to stuff I think I'm good at, which simultaneously I'll be able to point out the bit that I suck at. I feel like I'm really good at time management.
Yeah, I agree.
Like time management and creating like... almost like a daily or a weekend itinerary.
I suck at that.
I think I actually am really good at that. Like, I think I am. Like, I'll be like, all right, it's the weekend. Sorry, it's Friday night. And I'll be like, it's Friday. Like, we'll often do this as we're driving to a Friday night dinner. I'll be like, all right, so what are we doing on the weekend? Tasha's like,
do you pull out like, notes and like write times and things of what you're
going to do? No, if it's a weekend, you don't need that much. But if it's for a whole week... like, for example, the holidays are coming up, right?
Yeah.
I'll probably write an itinerary for the whole holidays.
Really?
Yeah, and I feel so good about it.
Man, it's too much rigid formula for me. I'm like, full closed in, like, I'm in.
It feels so good.
Oh, but I can't breathe already. I feel like I do my collar.
I allow for, like, rest days and stuff, right?
What?
I'm joking.
How can you allow for a rest day? You need to rest when you need it.
I'm being sarcastic. Yeah,
rubbish.
So we're often on the way here, I'll be like, all right, so what do you want to do? She's like, I really need to do this, I really need to get that, and I really need to get this. And then I puzzle the pieces together. She's like, but why are we doing this on Saturday morning for? And then I'll give her the reason. She'll be like, oh yeah, okay, well that makes sense. So I'm like really good at like putting things together. I guess because my job is that, like everything, like, you know, everything's
by the hour.
It's like a jigsaw, right? I'm simultaneously suck at letting go of the ability to allow someone else to do that, especially if I know they suck at that.
To set up your agenda for you? I feel
like
they
suck at it, yeah. Like, for example, like for like, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of like, I don't know, like if we're planning to go somewhere.
Yeah. And I'm like, don't worry, I'll take over. I'll send it to you. You'd be like,
no, yeah, probably. I'm like, oh shit, he's going to do it wrong. And I'm so
do you know what's fascinating?
What's that word? Is control.
You're control freak.
I suck at letting go of control. I don't feel like I'm a control freak, though.
You and I are polar opposites. I'll tell you what.
I honestly don't feel like I'm a control freak.
When it comes to your time, you probably are.
Yeah, but if
not
it's
to
my,
me, but...
but if it's my time, like if it involves my time,
yeah.
I can't let go of that. But I'm not a control freak in terms of...
No, that you
it's
value...
It's like, no, don't put the remote control like that. Put it like that. I'm not that controlling. You know what I mean?
I'm a bit like that sometimes.
Yes.
You and I are so different. I'll tell you what. When we were booking our trip for me and Nat were going to the Hunter Valley.
Yeah.
I booked the tickets, the reservation for the place that we were staying at.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I booked it. And because I use Gmail, I got the email sent. And then all of a sudden, this thing pops up on my phone. It's like, do you want to set this up as an itinerary? And I was like,
no.
I'm like, hold on. Yeah, I'm like, yes. I don't have to think about it. I'm like, well, that's a cool feature. I clicked okay or something.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it comes up with like this Google travel thing. And it's like between this day and this day is your arrival at this time. It did it for me.
Oh, wow.
And it's like the weather is going to be this. And then it goes, do you want ideas of places to visit? And I was like,
yeah, sure.
Man, it's like a PA. I'm like, I didn't have Google, to think it? About it. It just Google? Did it for me. It's Google. And I was like,
wow.
It came with suggestions. And I was like, and then every time I was visiting a place or whatever, I booked it in, it looks at my email. It draws into the from the email and adds it to the itinerary, all automated.
Wow.
That I didn't mind because I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to do the detail because if I'm sitting like 10:30 to 11:30.
I still think I do a better job than Google though.
Nah, man. I have trouble thinking about when I got to wake up in the morning. I'm like, am I going to get up at 7:30 or 7:45?
Oh my God.
I'm like, you know what? Set an alarm for 7:30 and then set one for 7:45 and I'm going to snooze it for 5 minutes until that time because then it feels like I've slept in for 15 minutes. That is the story of my morning life. Oh my you know God. What I suck at? Mornings.
You suck at mornings.
Oh, makes me want to vomit in a bag.
I'm excellent at mornings.
No, I hate it. I can feel myself getting extreme. I got to get. I'm getting like 20 to 100 now. I hate mornings. It takes me if I wake up at. If you said to me I have to wake up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And do something where I have to go somewhere that I don't want to be. I will not wake up until...
the very last moment.
No. Like, unless I'm put into a real pressured situation where my adrenaline kicks in and it forces me to wake up, then I will. But if you're asking me, I've got to do something and get ready from 6 o'clock because I've got to be somewhere later on, I'm not awake until like 10.
Wow.
Like, I'm not exaggerating either.
So you're stretching it.
I stretch it. I'm like, show me the kettle. I need a cup of coffee. I need to like sit. I need to sit for after my sleep because I'm tired from waking up and now I feel tired. I need to sit. And when I sit, I'm like, it's this feeling of relief. I can feel my body relax even though I've been laying down for 6 hours.
You and your sister are definitely, like, you guys are definitely related.
Mornings. I suck at mornings.
Yeah.
But I'm good at nights.
I'm getting better at nights.
I think you are too, man.
I'm getting better at nights, but
I've been staying up late a lot.
This is because of the time of the year, but I often will use the analogy that I'm like the old school Microsoft screensaver.
Yeah.
So explain what you mean by that. If you don't use me enough, I will switch off. Not fully though. I go into
sleep mode.
Like sleep mode, like battery saving mode.
At night?
Yeah.
At night?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. If I sit down and you don't engage with me, it's a good chance I'm going to go. But I won't go deep. I'll just go like light.
I'll do that in the morning.
And that like little thing like bounces around the screen. What's that called again?
The screensaver.
The screensaver,
Microsoft Windows thing.
Yeah.
That's funny. I find myself doing that at like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we've had a podcast about this.
We have, eh?
Yeah.
So I can't, man. Can't do mornings. Oh, I fucking hate it. I could easily just wake. If I didn't have to wake up at a certain time, I'd sleep in every day quite comfortably. Wake up when I feel like I need to wake up.
Yeah.
I feel shitty after it, though. I have to admit.
Yeah.
I envy morning people. I don't want to waste a day. But come nighttime, fucking razor sharp.
I just love a plan. I love a good plan. Nothing impresses me more.
But how do you feel free, though? I hate a plan.
You can't feel free all the time.
Why?
Because it's not what it's supposed to be. I sound really regimented. Like I'm some twisted army sergeant. I need a plan. I like a good plan. I am impressed when someone comes up with a good plan.
I'll actively plan.
Not to plan.
To not plan. I kid you not. I plan not to plan.
But don't you feel good when someone plans for you and everything goes well?
Google, yes. But it's because it's looking at my calendar and knows my habits so well. It knows me better like than I know
me. We haven't been on holidays much together. But the times that we've had and we've kind of planned things, don't you feel good once the plan has come through?
Yeah, but you've planned it for me. I'm just going, oh, it's pretty cool.
But isn't it cool though? Have you had a good time?
Yeah. Now
I'm forcing it. You've had a good time, right?
I have. But had I have said to you, listen, man, let's just show up. and look around and go to the fire. No. Exactly. You'd be like, oh, I can't do that. Whereas if I... That's what I love about camping. I've got an idea of things I want to bushcraft and create.
Camping is different, though. Like, once you get the camping, unless there's bushwalks and tracks and waterfalls to see and whatnot, which then, mind you, I'll probably end up like...
You'll plan it. We're going to the waterfall at 1 o'clock, but people. Be ready.
A destination, we are parking here, we are setting up camp, and we are going nowhere from this perimeter,
yeah,
then I won't plan. Because it's like, well, all we need to worry about is a campfire and making sure it's good to go and that the tent and all that is up, and that's about it. That's the only planning that needs to be done. But imagine going to, like, that's why itineraries exist, okay? Like, imagine going to a place,
yeah,
that's so much to see, but like, you benefit from seeing certain things based on the times.
I'll ask you this question.
Based on times of the day.
When you and my sister, when you and Tash went to your honeymoon.
Yeah.
Did you know what you were going to do on your honeymoon?
Not necessarily, but once we got to the... Because we first went to KL and that was cool, but we just kind of just did whatever because we're only going to be there for one day.
Yeah.
But then when we went to Langkawi, we're like, oh, cool, we're in a resort now. We're going to do whatever they've got to offer here.
Yeah.
But then we looked at like the activities and the tours they had. And then we kind of thought, all right, well, let's, you know, we forgot that we're in, you know, Southeast Asia. We looked at it and we're like, the weather's good every day. Okay, cool. So we don't have to worry about any rainy days or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of thought, oh, well, it'll be good to do this on this day, on that day. And then
you planned it from there.
And then you just planned it from there.
Okay. Yeah. So we did the same thing then. Because
you got to plan something.
Yeah. Because when we went to Mauritius. Imagine
leaving your honeymoon and then realizing you could have gone on some, you know, epic like waterfall adventure or something, and you didn't do it because you were just lazing about the pool too much.
No. So when we went to Mauritius, it was the same thing. But when I went there, I didn't have an idea of all the things that they had to offer. I knew the things that I liked, and the travel agent was like, yeah, you can do all that kind of stuff there.
Yeah, yeah.
But we arrived there and we hadn't had anything booked. No activities. I didn't know. All I knew was like...
Yeah, neither did we. We didn't have anything booked there. Yeah, okay,
fine. All right, that was probably a bad example then. Because when we had someone come and sit down like, so this is what you can do. And they showed us a book. And they're like, you can go on this tour. You can do this event. You can go on this shopping event. You can go and do parasailing. You can do all this kind of stuff.
And
I've got to tell you a story about that. Mm-hmm. I'll tell the listeners a story about that.
Yeah.
And we ended up booking stuff and it was fine. Like it was good. But talking about parasailing, right? When we were on our honeymoon, here's a story because storytelling for listeners.
Yeah.
One day when we were on our honeymoon, we went to do parasailing. And I think when people do parasailing, usually you're like, I think the one that you've done, you sit on the boat goes out.
And you get like wheeled.
And they winch you out and they wheel you and you kind of go up on this cable.
Yeah.
And you end up in the air off the back of the boat.
And then when you're finished, it kind of like wheels you back in. And then winds you back in.
That's the normal thing, right?
Yeah.
So when we were on our honeymoon, we took the catamaran out across the first is like the flat crystally water. Then it becomes like a reef and it's real choppy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get past the deep blue dark choppiness, then it becomes crystal clear water again. It's flat.
Yeah.
Pristine. It's amazing. So we're on this catamaran, like kicking back and listening to like Jamaican music and Bob Marley and like they're giving drinks for everybody. And
this
it was like,
this is love, this is love.
Is this love? It was exactly like that. I still play that song now so I can take myself back there. But we're listening to Bob Marley, cruising along, and like we're going to go and do parasailing. We're like, oh, fuck, this sounds all right. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we took the catamaran and then all of a sudden in the middle of like the ocean, it's crystal clear ocean. You can pretty much see the floor.
Yeah.
There's a wooden barge that's just floating in the ocean.
Yeah.
And it's probably like the size of this room, but it's probably what, 5 by 5 meters.
Yeah.
You know, as a square.
Yeah.
So the catamaran pulls up, we disembark and stand on this deck and the catamaran goes off and moves. And then there's another speedboat thing against the barge.
Yeah.
This floating thing. And we're like, all right, so how's this going to work?
Yeah.
And so there's probably like 10 of us all from all these different countries, French, German, you know, all these different nationalities. We're all sitting there and we're like, oh, it's cool. You know, everyone's kind of looking around. And they go, all right, so who wants to go first, whatever. One couple went first and I think we went second.
Yeah.
And we were watching and we're like, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So basically, they've got the speedboat. You stand on the barge, you put on the harness.
Yeah.
The parachute's kind of like laying on the floor on the barge. The boat takes off. You're on the barge, strapped to the boat. They then say, all right, now you need to start to run. So the boat takes off. You stand up, you start running along the barge thing that's floating,
yeah.
And then you leap off and then you just start to go in the air.
Yeah.
That doesn't let you out. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, like you got like 5 meters to run and then hopefully you become in the air. And they went up. It was like, fine. They just went up. They're flying. I'm like, oh, that's incredible. Look at the view they're going to get. I'm like, yeah. Nat, so excited. So they ended up coming back around. Then it was our turn. We all harnessed up. I'm like, oh, is this right? I don't even know if I put the harness on right. Looking back now, I don't think I had the harness on right because no one really checked it properly. Put the harness on. She put hers on. We're both strapped to each other. The boat goes off. I'm like, oh, we take off and we're floating in the air. Yeah. Finally, we're up in the air. The view's magnificent. It's nothing but crystal blue water. You can see as far as the eye can see escarpments, green forest, this and that. It was beautiful. It was amazing. Sunny blue skies. Then I'm like, feeling myself slip, because what you have to do is you have to hold these cable things for this parachute thing.
Mm.
And they said when you're going to turn back around, in order to land on the barge, you need to control the parachute thing that you're holding on with the handles. So you got to turn left, turn right as they yell from you on the bottom to guide yourself. Nat's like, Ivan, you got to turn, like you got to level up. I'm like, Nat, I can't. I've slipped through the harness. Oh, I've got the harness up around my like my midsection, right? Like, hanging from my man tits. I'm like, fucking hanging through this harness. I'm like, Nat, I feel, and I was like hanging on for deal. I'm holding onto these things. So I couldn't even turn left or right because I'm holding him to stop myself from feeling like I was going to fall through the harness.
Yeah.
She's like, Ivan, you got to turn. I'm like, babe, I can't turn. Like I'm fucking holding on to dear life here. Anyway, so the boat cycles around the barge. We're looking at this 5x5 square pine board thing sitting in the water. The boat goes around. We're going down, 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 and we have to land on this thing.
Mm.
Nat's in front of me. She's like 1.53 meters. Like she's short compared to me, like a full head height shorter. So she's like real tiny in front of me. I'm like hanging through the harness. We go to land on the barge thing and just miss the edge of the barge.
Yeah.
Land on the barge, the parachute thing goes over, drags us forward. So I fall, she goes face first, face down. I fall on top of her, and then the wind is just blowing the parachute along and just dragging her along the whole deck for a few meters. She turns around, her knees are like torn open. She's got grazes everywhere. She's bleeding. You can hear in the video, because we got it on like video cassette, like the guys who were trying to control, like, blah, 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 like yelling their minds off, freaking out. We nearly, had we have not landed on this barge, we would have landed like at the face, the side of it,
yeah,
front on, all over. We would have been like a story out of a honeymoon.
Oh, jeez.
And
in hindsight, check your
gone back and looked at the photos.
Yeah,
I kid you not, there is one carabiner hook on the rope to our parachute and a very thin cable. There's no double hooking, it was like super light. Had it have snapped or whatever, we'd be floating. Had we have not landed on that barge face first, we would have been into the side of that thing.
Jeez.
Check
your honeymoon schedule.
Kids. I have no idea what that's good or what I suck at, but it was, it was a good story.
I think that's a good story to end it on, mate.
There you go. We survived, but it was. You
survived the story.
Would I do parasailing again?
100%, I would.
Yes,
but you got to just check how.
But
it's
not
done.
Off a barge. You have to be winched off the back of the boat.
I've done it twice now, and both times are exactly the same. It's just this like you don't have to do any turning, nothing. You just
sit
hold
there,
on.
And then the momentum of the boat in the air and just takes pulls you. It was nothing like that. Yeah, they got the first aid kit out. They didn't have gloves. They're like trying to fix her knee. She ended up getting a mad infection. We had the hotel doctor come.
Yeah,
like. I don't know. The whole I'd love the country. I'll go back there. It's nothing to do with that. It was just that activity. I don't think the activity was set up right.
Yeah.
But the honeymoon itself, like if anybody ever wants to go to a country, go on and visit Mauritius.
Nice.
It's an incredible place. You got like rainforest, bush, safari, pristine beaches, a whole bunch of kind people, amazing food, all on this one 65 kilometer wide or long island. It's phenomenal.
Awesome.
Yeah. But anyway. That's my bit of a story for episode 59.
I like that story. It was good. You did the storytelling well.
There you go, man. I'm pretty good at storytelling. Do you know? I'm joking.
All right, guys.
You're good at time management. You're trying to wrap up the show.
No. No, I'm just trying to make sure that we...
We don't steal time. You getting texts?
Hey, I'm not getting texts. Okay, I'm just making sure that we're adhering to
to an pre-agreement.
Pre-agreement,
premarital agreement of the podcast.
All right, guys. Like always, journeytowherever.com. If you want to reach out, find out about us a little bit more. And
guys, we have an Instagram. We post photos and videos and stuff like that on our Instagram. Not as much as we should,
but that's okay.
However, we've got one, because I know one of your listeners is like, oh, do you guys have an Instagram?
Yeah, it's
like,
so we've got Instagram.
We do. We've got Instagram. We've got Twitter.
Facebook.
We've got Facebook. We've got the website.
We've got
TikTok.
Kind of
we haven't dived into it yet, so stay away from that just yet.
And like always, subscribe, share, review, all that stuff. That'd be great.
Have a great week, everyone. It's been an honor.
Yeah, and thanks again to what were they called again? Women. What are they called?
The Wonder Women.
Wonder Women podcast.
Yes.
For the shout out.
Indeed.
All right. Sweet, guys. Have a great week.
Laters. Bye.
See ya. Bye. You story told that really well.
Did I?
Yeah. I've heard that story before, but you told it differently.
Oh.
And you told that story obviously like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But obviously I forgot.
Oh, no, I like storytelling. It's so underrated.
Your story told it again, and I was like, oh, wow.
It brings back. When I say we're genuinely lucky,
you know,
especially Nat.
Yeah, you were very lucky. When we saw that, we were watching you guys do that, and I'm like, I know you guys are sitting next to us showing us your honeymoon video, but I almost.
We
feel
underrated.
Like,
I not,
when I'm watching this video, I'm thinking, how are you guys still here? Like, that's so fucking dangerous.
It was. I think we came back. We were so excited. All the honeymoon
just
vibes.
In love, man.
We just did
just
not.
In, just in love.
We didn't exactly. We did not. I had Bob anything. Marley in my head, and I did not realize.
It's all Bob Marley's fault.
I did not realize how risky it was until I've literally reflected on it years ago. It was a potential honeymoon catastrophe disaster.
Oh gosh.
But anyway, good episode, man. What'd you think of it?
I think it was good. I don't think we ended up doing what we kind of
did. We were going to.
I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like this was like the extended version of a
foreplay.
Podcast foreplay.
It felt like that, didn't
Whether we call it that or not, I'm not sure, but I kind of feel like
might be a good clickbait title.
Podcast foreplay.
We engage in foreplay on the podcast.
Yeah. I reckon we just call it episode whatever it is, 58.
Podcast
59.
Foreplay.
But just call it podcast foreplay. We might call it something else, but
I get weird about writing certain things that are like sexual.
Yeah,
because I don't want to come across as that guy that's like, you know when guys there's some guys that make real this because look, I'm okay on a podcast where 90% of our listeners are dudes.
Yeah.
That's our stats.
Yeah.
They're dudes between like the ages of
18 to 45,
but predominantly like 24 to 36 or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
So for a guy to crack a sexual joke with another guy, it's like,
yeah,
it's right. Oh, you have a laugh. But I don't want to, but when there's a guy, you know, in a room with a very diverse, different audience, it can come across as a bit like, oh, you didn't go there. I don't want to sound like that.
No, it does because
as long as the title doesn't come across like that, this episode is called Podcast Foreplay.
Yeah, well, it kind of that's what I'm saying. It's a weird one. It's like, what do you mean Podcast Foreplay? It's intriguing, maybe a bit clickbaity, but it's intriguing.
Yeah,
that's what I reckon.
Let's go with that. All right,
sweet ass.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.